Hey, this is James Gall, and we are doing The Seer, The Prophetic Power of Visions, Dreams, and Open Heavens. And this is the first time for me to do this series since it first came out those many years ago. And so this is now lesson one on The Seer and Prophet, Two Prophetic Streams. And I have gone through and we have revamped these notes, and they will correlate along with the book. And I trust that this is going to be a great help to you in this revised manner. So the opening scripture comes from 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, where it reads, "Just, O Lord, open his eyes, that he, Elijah's servant, may see." And it reads, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, where again it reads, "O Lord, open his eyes, that he, Elijah's servant, may see." Let's pray. Father, this scripture is a prayer to begin with. And so we open this entire series with this prayer. It is the key prayer for this entire 12-part series. And we're grateful for this historic series. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, the prophetic river of God in the book, The Seer, I open with a classic opening in which I do a parallel illustration or a parable that in the spiritual realm, the flow of the prophetic river from heaven to earth resembles like the Nile River. And you might not be aware of this, but just as the White Nile and the Blue Nile, they are actually two different river systems. They converge together to be called the Egyptian Nile. So two streams then of, as a parable of prophetic anointing, come together to feed the greater concourse of the mighty prophetic river of God on earth. And it's really interesting too that the names, the White Nile and the Blue Nile, and they originate in two different countries, come together to form what these three then that become one, that are considered actually one river chain or basis, is the largest river basis in the world. Even some consider it bigger than the Amazon. So then this just as a parable that we call these two then streams, natural, spiritual, the stream of the prophet and the stream of the seer. And it should be clear that both streams are important in the full expression of the Lord's prophetic word to his people in times past and in our current day expression of prophetic gifting and the way that we each can hear and receive the Lord's voice. Defining our terms. Well, different Hebrew words then, and now that's important what I just used right there, Hebrew words, because these words are not used in the Greek language of the New Testament. But different Hebrew words then are used to express then the prophet and the seer. The word Nabi or Nabiet is translated prophet. That word prophet in various forms is used. Listen to this. 300 times in the Old Testament. And then a corresponding word, prophetia, then is used 100 times in the New Testament. Then, quoting from different commentaries, then Young says The function of the Nabi was to speak a message on behalf of a superior. That is actually a definition of what is a prophet. A prophet speaks in behalf of a superior. In the case, listen to this one. In the case of Aaron, the superior was Moses, although ultimately, of course, it was God. As far as the prophets were concerned, the superior was, of course, was God himself. It was that he with whom the word to be spoken originated. He placed that word in the mouth of the prophet, and they in turn declared it to the people. We conclude then that upon the basis of Old Testament usage, Nabi was a speaker who declared the word that God had given to him. There's many scriptures that we find about this. Deuteronomy 18:18, Exodus 7:1, and in this lesson, because there's so many verses, I'm going to recite just most of them. Exodus 4 verses 15 and 16, Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 5 and 9. Now, here is another completely different Hebrew word. In fact, there's two or three of them that then is translated for the word seer. Roe, or it can now be pronounced ra'ah, and then a different Hebrew word, which is koze, pronounced like kaze, and it is translated seer, again from Young. The word nabe stresses the active work of the prophet in speaking forth the message from God. The word ra'ah or ro'e, on the other hand, brings forth the experience by means of which the prophet or the prophetic person was made to see the message. One lays the emphasis upon the prophet's relationship to the people, the other upon his relationship to God. Now, I think that is very helpful. Another historian states, these are not so much chronological historians as they are describers of pictures. A few scriptures now about seers. 1 Samuel 9:9, in reference to Samuel. 2 Chronicles 29:30, about Asaph. That one is actually really interesting. 2 Samuel 24:11, about Gad and his relationship. And how about Nathan? That's found in 2 Samuel 7:2. General conclusion. Prophecy is God communicating his will by word, sometimes also by action, through chosen people. It concludes whatever God desires to say about the past, the present, and or the future. Some people have tended to confine prophecy to words about the future, that is inaccurate. The prophet was and is a foreteller as well as a foreteller. Indeed, he speaks whatever God once said. The seer is the receptive dimension, and the prophet is the communicative dimension. Bill Hammond, the founder of Christian International Ministries, made a statement about these two prophetic streams that reemerged in the 1940s and 1950s. And he talked about this, and I found this to be extremely helpful. Here is Bishop Bill Hammond's quote. Two streams of restoration came forth in 1947 and 1948. By the way, that was the same time of the birth of the nation of Israel. One was the latter rain movement, which restored the practice of laying on of hands as well as the extensive congregational prophesying. They emphasized moving in the prophetic realm by faith, grace, and gifting. The other restoration stream was that termed the healing deliverance movement. Their restorational emphasis was laying on of hands, but for deliverance and healing and world evangelism by preaching with signs and wonders. Both groups were of God and were very valid ministries. Now, what Bishop Hammond is pointing out there was diversity of application with the same gifting. Words used now describing how the prophetic comes. Now, this is a wonderful, helpful study that when I was researching this all these years ago, I benefited from a lot of literature, you know, that I read. Netoph. This means, it's a Hebrew word, to let drop like rain. It is not like a downpour, but it is the gentle dropping of rain. It comes upon us a little by little, and it is accumulated, as it were, like in our buckets or in our heart over a period of time. And so you're just picking up a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. And over time, it is an accumulation of then revelation, netoph, to let drop like rain. Then there's massa. Now, if you are a prophetic intercessor, which we will get into a whole lot later in these other lessons, you will relate to this one, massa. It is used to refer to the hand of the Lord that releases what? The burden of the Lord. When God's hand comes upon you, it imparts something to us. When his hand lifts, his hand comes, his burden is released, the hand lifts, but his burden remains. Then there is the word nabi, nabiet. This word refers to the action of flowing forth. It also carries with it the thought of to bubble forth like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, to spring forth. Then there is the New Testament Greek word prophetia, speaking forth the mind and the counsel of God. It simply means to speak for another. Now, there are levels and terms of seeing. So there is visual. There's visual insight, revelations, warnings, and prophecies from the Spirit of God may come, listen to this, in supernatural visual dreams. Herein one sees God's revelation while his Spirit simply observes and receives the message. One might even see the heavens open as Ezekiel did, Ezekiel 1:1, even though he's asleep in an open heaven type vision. And the higher ecclesial realms and or celestial realms are disclosed, and views, patterns, heavenly insights from God become seeable. But this is visual, but there is another dimension in this seeing realm. It is actual. So there's the visual that is, I would reference this now as symbolic. There is visual that is actual. Supernatural actual dreams are those in which God's tangible presence is evident. To see the Lord in a dream is visible, but for the Lord to manifest himself to you in a dream is actual. This might not seem important at the moment, but later this will become very important to discern the difference between something that is visible, symbolic only, and that which is visible and actual. And it really will be important as we develop this particular set of messages. Similarities and differences now of the streams. Oh boy, is this ever important. Really important, by the way. Now, this took me years to grasp and gain this understanding. And as years ago, I was in a group of highly gifted seer prophets. And yet, that wasn't necessarily how I started out. Because I started out more by, well, I did start off by impressions and by snapshot pictures and divine knowings. But I didn't have any teachers, and I didn't have any instructors in these ways. But for 10 straight years, I prayed for the school of the prophets to come forth. And so what you are benefiting from right now would have been more than likely those 10 years of prayer where I prayed for the school of the prophets to come forth. And then at the end of those 10 years, Mike Bickle in Kansas City called forth for a 21-day fast. And in that 20-day fast was when then I and my wife, Michael Ann, we met seer prophet Bob Jones and a man from Phoenix, Arizona at the time named Augustine Akala. Now, but that wasn't my first time to encounter prophetic ministry. The first time it ever happened, it just happened spontaneously of me getting filled with the Holy Spirit and the overflow. I saw snapshot pictures, which now I understand to be visions, and I started to prophesy. A person's beginning and gifting can sometimes become a sign or a witness of their, of a calling, not necessarily the calling, but of a calling in their life. So that's just an insert there, for you, a part of my, storyline myself. Now, so it took me years to grow in this understanding about similarities and differences of these two streams. And I also found out that along the way that these two streams didn't have at that time. Things have changed a lot. That at that time, the greatest appreciation for one another. And that one stream perhaps had some maybe prejudices or lack of understanding how the other stream worked. And the other stream went like, no, wait a second. How did they just spontaneously get this? Don't they know that they have to wait on the Lord to get their word? And so because the way of reception of gifting is different in the different streams, then it could create a lack of appreciation and some misunderstanding then of the, or even appreciation of the two different streams. Now, over the years, there has been cross-pollination that has occurred. With the cross-pollination, there has been now a lot of hybrid mix. And so we live in a different day today than we did when I was being introduced into the seer camp. In fact, there might have been an elitism in this one camp or a lack of understanding in the other. And there were reasons why. But having been transparent with you about that, here's now some simplicity of similarities and differences of these two streams, the prophet, the Nabi, often uses plurality of leadership. I use the term eldership here. Now, today, we would probably even shift that term to leadership versus necessarily eldership, but often uses plurality of leadership or seasoned, gifted individuals, men and women, with laying on of hands to minister. Number two, they will often utilize giftings of praying out loud in the gift of tongues, with perhaps it is then followed by what would be considered the gift of interpretation of tongues with this Nabi stream. Number three, there's an association with spontaneity. It's more spontaneous and it is more fast flowing with inspiration with the tone. Four, it is often more hearing oriented and repeats as being spoken. But there is what would be considered, you get in the river and there's a flow. Five, steps out to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Number six, that what's called the prophetic presbytery in the past is a common approach, and that is biblical. Paul the apostle talking to Timothy and saying to stir up the gift of God that was imparted to you through the laying on of hands and of the presbytery, which means eldership of a group of seasoned elders that in a period of consecration, hands were laid upon and a calling and gifts were called out. And the prophetic presbytery was and is to this day a common approach. Now, that little summation is not a totality because in this prophetic Nabi stream, it has now, through cross-pollination, has gone into multiple other expressions as well. Okay, now, the seer, ro'e or ra'a, one, it does tend to be more singular in ministry versus plurality of a team. Now, having said that again, we are now living in a time of the benefit of the cross-pollination of these two streams. And so now you'll have teams that minister together. But let's just go back to these notes and to the book, The Seer. So they will tend in the past to be more singular in ministry. Two, emphasizes, this is for sure, visions and revelatory gifts versus the audible hearing and spontaneous then speaking forth. Three, often might operate at a slower pace. Now, this is true often with me. To describing pictures in their own words versus that bubble up, gush forth, get in the river, and then in a very fast-paced style. Frankly, takes me a while to get in that groove because that's not my primary flow as it is with others. Now, I can get with others, that that's their primary flow, but it takes me a while to get in that with them, and then I can get there. But also, it might take them a moment to like get into the vision side and then learn how to catch that and to express it. Now, moving on though. So, but it is true, the seer, because they'll see a picture. For me, it often happens ahead of time. I see something, I am left to journal it or ponder it, and then the understanding then unfolds, and often then in the assignment itself. Okay, and so there's why at times there's revelation ahead of time, but then you are left to try to discern, okay, is this actual? Is this symbolic? This picture, is it literal? Oh. And it takes more, here's the word, interpreting. Okay, number four is dependent upon, at times, angelic assistance and manifested presence of God. Number five, often has limitations, the person does, until they sense the anointing. I have watched this over the years. It's just so fascinating because this person ministering can, it's a little bit more Clark Kent and Superman kind of style. And they can come across very ordinary. And then when that tangible presence, whether it's angelic assistance, some dimension of a manifest anointing, or it might be a faith realm, it might be a atmospheric something that is happens then in the worship, but something kicks this into gear and the person then moves from the natural to the supernatural, and they tend to have more of a limitation where the Naba, because they're reaching in to the river of God within and they pull it forth. And it seems to be one is more by command, by faith and an act of the will, and the other seems to have more limitation there until they sense the external or even something clicking internally. And so it might deal also with strategic timing. And then six, they often get information ahead of time and tells it later. That is definitely true with me. You know, this is different with every person because we are living in a period of time of cross-pollination. And I want us to appreciate the period of time that we're in. I was painting a period of time almost of isolationism and a time of dealing with, excuse me, competition. And now we're dealing in a very, very, very different period of time of an amalgamation, a time of cross-pollination, and of, it's so different today, and I am so grateful for the difference, because it used to be, it was the seer camp, and in your gatherings, you only had, quote, people that were like you. And in the Naba stream, it was more prevalent, and so there was just a lot more of this activity. And And then there maybe wasn't the felt need, I don't know, for as much cross-pollination. But we live in a different era today. So I want you to understand this and appreciate this. I think that I might be an example of myself, my own life, of growing up and in and through this convergence of these Blue Nile, the White Nile, for the Great Nile. And while I still have a manner and or way of functioning that is my primary way that is best or works best for me, but I don't have a grading card that goes, well, but that way just is not right. And it used to be that way. And let me say, that comparison and even competition still does exist. Where it has been in the past, I used to actually even carry with me in my Bible an illustration and have like a card and like an 8, a 9, a 10, like in Olympics, and you're scoring people. And do you know that we do that? And not just in the prophetic. Do you know that we do this in all kinds of areas? And we score them and we go, but let's just deal with the prophetic right now, and we go, or let's deal with it on worship right now, and we go, well, that was a 7, and we get out our card and we're like the judge, and we don't even sometimes know we're doing it. Because we're used to a certain culture, we're used to certain streams, and different ethnic groups and different backgrounds and different streams have different styles. Personally, I've never been a person who promotes style as my message. I hope that my message is an attempt for integrity. Integrity is what matters. The wineskin of character to carry the gifting is ultimately what matters. I believe there's supposed to be a lot of diversity, and that is actually good. But we can too often be like someone at an Olympic, and we get, oh, that one was a 9. Well, why was it a 9? It was because we love get down, high praise, but we don't necessarily like soaking worship, maybe. Or maybe it's the opposite, that we like quieting our soul before God, let all the earth be silent before him. And we get a little annoyed by banners and this and that. And we've been hit on the head before by you know, something or whatever, you know. And I was like, I'm just painting a big picture. Let's take that over to the seer and the prophet. And so sometimes we've had a bad experience in a different stream. And sometimes we need to forgive, we need to get over, we have a prejudice, sometimes they're cultural, sometimes they're just differences. And I have had to learn not as much that my goal is promoting style and other people that is their part of their, they seem to be a part of their almost job. is promoting a style. And you know what? I have to say, that's okay. If that includes integrity, accountability, and character. Now, having said all that, here's what I believe. I believe that diversity is good. And we need diversity of gifting and diversity of stuff to reach many different kinds of people. Now, so there I just went over quickly with you, what was it? Similarities and differences of these two streams. Now, something that helped me years ago was a dream that I was given. And so some concluding purposes, a word and a dream. In a very clear dream, a man who's now been with the Lord for a while named Paul Cain. And Paul Cain, it is true, had his ups and his downs in his career or his ministry, okay? But he was highly gifted. Now, in a very clear dream, Paul Cain came to me and said, "The seer hears as much as he sees. It's just a different deep touch from the same dear Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that dream helped me a lot. Listen to the words. The words, whether it was symbolic or whether it was actual. The issue is the message. Here was the message. The seer, and it was a seer who was being used to convey the words in behalf of God the Father. The seer hears as much as he sees. It's just a different deep touch from the same dear Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very, very important. The manifold purpose. The purpose of both the prophet and the seer is to reveal the glorious wonders of Jesus Christ. God's purpose in a generation, eternity, heaven and hell, and the Father's great presence. It is to release edification, exhortation, and comfort, and the life of God to individuals and into, now watch this phrase, every sphere of life and society. Hey, this is one of the reasons why I believe that acknowledging and honoring both spheres, both streams are important, because it might be an impression to give expression. It might be a spontaneous encounter in one situation. It might be a dream that came ahead of time. But whatever it is to release edification, building up. It is to exhort, to encourage. It is to comfort, to bring the consolation of God. And the life of God, prophesy life, to individuals and into what? Every sphere of life and society. Now, let's look at, in closing, praying the Word and the Spirit. Here are two of the primary prayers. One from the New Testament, one from the Old. Pray for your eyes to be open. In Ephesians 1, chapter 17 to 19. Now, those of you who have walked with me for years, you know I emphasize this set of verses. Why? It's because it has been so meaningful to me. Again, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit initially, I started praying this these verses. And I prayed them. I was so hungry. I had no mentors and no tutors, except obviously the Bible. I got some teaching cassettes from a few different people. I had some early impact by some people's names. I'm not even going to mention them at the moment. And I'm very grateful for everything, anything that I received. Now, what I did was, for 10 years, I prayed Ephesians 1:17-19. And you can pray it too, because God's an equal opportunity employer. Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, which was the model church of the time. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I keep asking. I'm now 70 years old at the time of this recording. I started praying this when I was 20. I've been praying this for 50 years. Paul the Apostle said, I keep asking. So let's keep asking. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's why I do this, we do this, that we may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I pray it like this. Lord, I ask that you send shafts of revelatory light into my heart and open the eyes of my heart that I might see you, know your word, know your ways, know the hope of your calling. So take the scripture, pray the scripture, make it personal, put it in your own words, and do it. And then the opening scripture we opened with from the Old Testament. The one who could see prayed for the one who could not see. And then the one who could not see, the servant, could then see into the unseen realm. Oh Lord, open his eyes that he could see. The prophetically gifted one who could not see prayed for the one who could not see. And the one who then could not see saw. The same servant then exclaimed. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of the horses and the chariots of fire all around Elisha. Because you see, the mountains in the natural were full of an encampment of the army of the enemy. Let's join together the word and the spirit in prayer. Father God, we ask that you give us a greater measure of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you open the spiritual eyes of our heart so that we could be enlightened to know the hope of your calling in our lives. Open our eyes of this servant that we might see into the unseen realm. And we're asking that this seer study will bring us into new dimensions of knowing you, seeing the plans of the enemy, being able to cut them off and bring us into a fresh place for your glory's sake. Amen and amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.